Praise the Lord. Our Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are going to be reading from verses 4 to 26. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but our members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our sermon topic this morning is serving each other as one body in Christ. And this is in continuation with our quarterly theme, that is living a life of sacrifice and service. Our preacher this morning is our own brother, Professor Omokwa Adeleye, and I pray that the Lord will bless us and minister as he ministers his word to us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for another opportunity to meet again. Lest I forget, I must quickly deliver a message. I've been sent to greet you, and I know you know who I'm talking about. Thank you very much for your understanding. She'll be here one day. I'm still looking forward to that. Of course, I'm talking about my wife, for those who don't know, and the rest of us know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a moment of your word. We ask, O God, that you minister to us. Let your power be revealed to us in a new way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, It's an unusual day because the lessons we're learning, and indeed what the Lord is asking us to share on, is something that calls me, that even speaks to me myself. So I'm not here to come to boast of what I know, what I have done, what I can achieve, and things like that. I'm just here to learn with the rest of us, to be a blessing, and to learn better to so be. One of the things that I have noticed with time, especially with the hard times in recent years, and even within this year, is that people are becoming more and more self-centered. Have you noticed that? People are tighter. People are trying to, just salvage what they can and learn to tell people no, no, no. It's understandable, naturally speaking, but we as a church must think differently. The command that Jesus has given to us has an economic design in it. It is that in our clusters, God can use us to serve one another. And so our topic for today is serving one another as one body in Christ, serving each other as one body in Christ. I want us to take this song before we go on. It's an old song, and I think some churches still sing it. You're my brother, you're my sister. Do we know the song?
Yeah.
Aha. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will. Let's take that line again. Together we will walk until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. Walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand. Are there people who know the song? The choir doesn't seem to know it. Am I that outdated? I'm too young. All right. And thank God my sister knows it. Okay, so let's take it together. You are my brother, you are my sister. Take me by the hand. Together we will walk until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. Walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand. That kind of song should not disappear. As long as there is love, we will stand. And I want to give us the challenge right away, that before we leave church today, just make an effort. If you don't do it, don't feel bad that you sinned against God. But just do one thing. Ask somebody, how can I be a blessing to you? Look for an unusual, an unlikely person. Surprise somebody with that question. How can I be a blessing to you? You may be surprised that that question alone can transform somebody's life. Am I saying something? He asked me, how can I? That made my day. That question made my day. You know the kind of thing I mean. So do something for somebody today. Get ready to be a blessing to somebody today, including giving something you probably think you don't have. So get ready to bless somebody today. And I trust God that he will surprise us with something unusual, uncommon, this week, by the end of this year, in the name of Jesus Christ. This topic, like I said, has been a blessing to me. It's a time of rejoicing because I see myself doing more. I see myself before God saying, Lord, here am I, use me. I see myself challenged to be a blessing to the body of Christ. more than ever before. I see needs. I see opportunities. I'm not looking at how much I have. I'm looking at how many people are waiting to be blessed by me. The Word of God makes this very clear. We are one body, the body of Christ. And the mechanism by which Christ takes care of his body is to use us as members of that body to bless one another. And I like the anatomical and physiological approach that Apostle Paul used when he wrote to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The scripture says that, Ephesians 4:16. And Apostle Paul was using joints and what the joints supply. And I'll just read it out straight away. For from whom the whole body, speaking of Christ now, fitly joined together and compacted that by that which every joint supplieth. Yes, let's use that's New King James, I guess. By that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. If I do my share, if you do your share, if I do my part, you do your part, every need is met. And it makes us complete, makes us effective, makes us make a difference, not only within ourselves, but in reaching out to others. Continuing in that verse, it says, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase. That's how we increase. Not only are our needs satisfied, we grow. So it says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. How? In love. So love is the basis for which we become blessings one to another. And that was what Apostle Paul shared with the Corinthians, with Ephesians, Philippians, with the church, which I believe he understood from Christ, the way he dealt and related with the disciples. Whereas Jesus was master, whereas he was their leader, he didn't make them feel that they were his slaves. He gave himself. Scripture says that he gave himself for the church. He sacrificed his life for the church. So our orientation should be the orientation of how can I be a blessing to somebody. And it's in the process that we see God doing uncommon things. And my wife has noticed that too about me, maybe just to share a small testimony. She said, "Why? How come? How can you turn down? One institution wanted me to come and do something, a Christian body." And I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it for free." Then I got a letter saying they will pay me a certain amount of money. Now that was the basis of my anger. And my wife was wondering, "Why are you so angry?" I said, "Because I said they must withdraw that letter before I take up the job." It became big wahala. Now they're looking for how to formalize it before I do it. I'm happy. I feel fulfilled giving and being a blessing. And I know that God will bless me through another means. God, who is our provider, knows our needs and will raise helpers for us at the right time and in the right way in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel so glad anytime I'm a blessing to somebody. Even when they are not happy, the issue is not that they are grateful to me. I'm not looking for the gratitude. I just want to please God. And that's the heart that he desires that every one of us should have. The scripture we have read today points to some key issues. Notice there that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that scripture deals extensively with the design of the body and then how different parts are important. Concerning the way we can be blessings, there are dimensions that are mainly spiritual described. But looking at it holistically, let's bear in mind that God can use whatever we have to be a blessing to somebody. I've heard questions before, how can I be a blessing to the body of Christ? What is the gift of God in my life? Very simple. just start doing something. Start being a blessing to one person, then two, then three. If you don't know what to do, start praying. Pray for me. If you don't know who to pray for, just pray for me, and I know God will answer you. Because there are things that happen around me that make me know that somebody somewhere must be praying that I don't know about. Somebody somewhere is mentioning my name to heaven, and God is doing something. Somebody somewhere is receiving a revelation about me, and God is making utterances. And that's how I should be in the church. And so I challenge every one of us to get ready with a heart ready to be a blessing. I could teach and train now on how to raise money, how to improve your income, how to do all that. Yes, that would be sound. But what God wants us to deal with today is how we can serve one another in the body of Christ in order to satisfy the needs here. The world talks about networking. I hope we understand that the root of networking is in the Bible. Networking is what is described as the way the body of Christ functions. We are in a net. We are all interconnected. We are all tied and bound together in love. And in so doing, as long as love flows through the body, no part should be lacking. We shouldn't have a situation where somebody can turn their bowl into the dustbin and pour out food, whereas the next brother, sister out there hasn't had food to eat maybe for days. Please, let's not assume that, oh, since people come here with, you know, beautiful faces, makeups and fine shoes and looking good, it means that everybody eats well. There might just be people right in our congregation who have no food to eat. Another Christian brother, another Christian sister somewhere, maybe outside this congregation, that has nothing to eat. But God is challenging us today to be blessings to one another. So let's look at some steps that we should use in order to know how to serve one another. The first step I'd like to mention is that we must recognize what God has given to us. Appreciate Him for what He has given to us. That dress you're putting on is a great blessing. The air we breathe, the sun that shines on us, the brilliance of the day and the circles of one day rolling into another, those are big blessings. Let's thank God for them. The ones that are within our control are blessings that we should say thank you for. The money you have, including the last kobo on you, is a blessing. Remember that woman who Jesus observed going to give an offering? It was her last coin that she dropped in the offering. And Jesus used her to minister to others. We often say widow's mite. Oh, this is my widow's mite. You are neither a widow nor one who has a mite. If you were to give a widow's mite, the first step is to even be a widow. Because it's not easy to be a widow. I've not been there before. But Jesus was drawing attention to the fact that the most unlikely person was doing the most unlikely thing. And that was great. So if I, with my job as a teacher, doctor, and all that, I give all I have as offering, what that means is that I still have not given up to what the widow did. It means that we have a lot of opportunities to be blessings. Let's recognize what we have, both tangible and intangible. There are persons here who are very good at smiling. Oh, I used to know of somebody many years back, not in Nigeria. I read of him. Somebody says that, I was told rather, and I read about it, that people were paying to come and watch him smile. Can you beat that? Just to watch him smile. Yes, they were paying. Who knows? Somebody here might be able to smile enough to attract a crowd. But the point we're making here is this. A smile on your face can be a blessing to someone. There are times I've looked at people smiling before and I said, wow, this is beautiful. See what God has created. What a blessing. And I leave the place smiling too. You know, there are some people who will just look at you and smile. You can't resist it. You just smile back. You get it? That's a blessing. Smile at somebody, even if you don't feel like it. Give a smile. Even if you're not sure it will make a difference, just smile. Do it, and somebody's life may just be touched. There's a lot more. People have needs. They are all around us. But what's important is recognize what you have. The next one I want to mention quickly is that you should learn how to serve. How do I learn? Watch others serve. You see the choir? They're singing. The practices they go through, I've never attended one, but I used to be a chorister, and I know it was not easy as a youth. Young chap there, we will sing, the choir master, okay, take it, one, two, go. And then, when is the next line? We're waiting, some of us are waiting to be sure this is what to say, or so we don't say the wrong thing. And the choir master gets angry. Who will sing the song? The song cannot sing itself. And we're still saying that till today. The body cannot look after itself until we do it. Somebody has to sing the song. If the next line and the choristers don't take the next line, what will happen? There will be silence. And then they will struggle with the song. But don't we enjoy it when they sing? Look at our instrumentalists. Look at the so many people doing so many things in the church. Before we get here, everywhere looks clean and tidy and brilliant. And we smile when we see the altar. We smile when we look around us. Somebody did something to make it happen. What if you join them? What if you just join people who give, people who pray, the prayer band, the different groups, and find yourself doing something? That way, you will learn to serve. You learn to serve by serving. Next, I'll quickly mention, is to identify opportunities. Somebody somewhere needs a job. Somebody needs attention somewhere to be prayed for, to be visited. Somebody somewhere needs food. Somebody somewhere needs how to improve income, or needs somebody to help pay a child's school fees. But if you don't ask, you may not know. And you know, in our environment, people are often too shy to talk about their needs. People suffer in hunger because they don't want to talk about their needs. But why don't we then take the initiative? Ask them, is there any way I can be a blessing to you? Can I be a blessing to you in any way? You may not have the 100,000 naira that the person needs to make that difference. Maybe you just have 5,000 naira and say, okay, let me give you this. This is all I have. But my prayer is that this will open doors for more things and God will bring the increase and solve this matter. You know, that little step that you've taken may just change somebody's life. So identify the needs. Identify the opportunities. They may be spiritual, may be emotional, it may be you just praying for somebody. It may be you counseling somebody. It may be you just saying, well, I don't know what to ask God to do, but let's just ask him to change the situation. Sometimes you're not sure how to direct a prayer, but just pray with somebody. You're not God. It's God that's going to decide on how exactly to solve it. We may need some kind of medical or rehabilitative. There may be people who have such needs. Are you a medical doctor? Why not? You go ahead, take a step, and somebody gets better. Some little thing you do changes situation. But I want to add a step that I think many people need to be aware of. Identify the risks. Because of our kind of society, there are people who may pretend to be parts of the body, but are not genuinely so. In a certain church, somebody started attending the church and became an active member within a short time, and people were wondering, wow, this looks good. Then, moments later, the announcement was, oh, the mother died, and people contributed a lot, and, you know, helped to do the burial and all that, and he disappeared. It became clear that he became active in the church because he wanted money for burial. But do we regret such things? No. The only thing is that let's look out. That's harmless anyway. But what about people who we may bring to our houses who may then become harmful people? We got them from church. We wanted to rehabilitate them. And then they became thieves, stealing from the house. Even stealing enough to run away because they know that we'll catch them. Such people are here and there. But just pray that the Holy Spirit directs your heart. But don't let selfishness or refusal to be a blessing to become Holy Spirit directing your heart. Oh, God did not speak to me. You don't have to hear word for word from the Holy Spirit to say, this person must be blessed by you. God can speak to us, yes, but that doesn't mean that every step we take to be a blessing to somebody must be. Mm-mm, let's not make it binding on God. He must speak to us. He may just lay it in your heart to do something, and you're a blessing to someone. It may be financial or whatever it may be, but just do what God will have you do. Now, after identifying the risks, please take a step and do something. If you need counsel concerning risks, ask somebody. You can ask a lawyer if it's a legal risk. You can ask a security man if it's a security risk. You can take measures to monitor, you know, to be vigilant and to be careful, exercise caution, especially when you do ministry like prison visits. You want to be a blessing to those who've given their life to Christ. You want to rehabilitate them. Even then, you are careful. Because some may pretend to be giving their life to Christ because of what they expect from you. I mean, these are practical issues that we need to pay attention to. But that should not stop us from doing what we have to do. Then, let's keep in mind that we are carrying out whatever we are doing on behalf of Christ. It's not by power, not by might. It's not by pleasing ourselves. Neither is it secular philanthropy. No, that's not what we're talking about. It is that there is a brother, a sister that needs to be ministered to. What do I have that I can give? What does somebody need that I can do something about? A piece of information can change somebody's life. Can even bring somebody to the point of achieving a purpose in life. And our attitude can make things happen. You know, your attitude can fire your gift. Your disposition can. Somebody, there is a leader in the church, one of the leaders in the Nigerian church in the U.S. I remember how he left Nigeria. More than 25 years ago, he came to my house and he just said he wanted to visit, was happy, got into my shelf, picked a Christian magazine, saw an address somewhere, and picked it up. And he wrote to the people, the church, a church into missions and co. They gave him some training from there. Another church appointed him. He's a priest today and he's leading. Now, suppose he didn't come to my house. Maybe God would have used him in another way. But coming to my house made him to see purpose. He had trained as a priest in the Anglican church, but was now, you know, going into his postgraduate as a young chap. And I was more or less guiding him. He was my student as an undergraduate. And he continued to fellowship with me and my family. That was how he came about that information. I didn't even know it was there. So something somewhere that you may not, your attitude can bring a blessing to someone. It may not even be something you are actively doing, but just the attitude. And let's always remember that whenever you are not able to do something, think of somebody who can do it better than you. You don't have the solution. Does somebody else have the solution? Is anybody here who knows about the Uhogwa camp, IDP camp in Benin City, Uhogwa, an IDP camp? If you know it, just raise your hand. Just want to be sure somebody knows it or has heard of it. Okay, at least I've seen two hands now. So about 2015 or so, somebody said, look, I know God can use you. Well, I didn't use the exact words, but you need to know about this. There's a camp somewhere in the bush in the outskirts of Benin. And I went there. Long story cut short, I called the children out. Thousands of children. No exaggeration, thousands. The owner, the leader, called them out, and I took pictures, put them on Facebook, took his phone numbers and other pieces of evidence. Within 24 hours, the leadership of that place, they're Christians, by the way, it was set up as a Christian center, but became secondarily an IDP center. Phone calls from outside the country, from within the country, to the point that even the state governor got to know about it, and the government now started politicizing it. Yes, we are looking after And I was just laughing. You, how did you come out? You just heard of it. And beyond that, I couldn't do much more. I called a brother. I said, look, an engineer, let's give them water. You see children lining up so many, not even to put a borehole. Let's just connect pipes that will put taps at different locations. And by the grace of God, that completely changed the picture in that place. And the man, the leader, kept saying, I don't understand the kind of human being you are. But what did I do? I just shared information on social media. And the world responded. Before you knew it, even Abuja sent a message to send buses down to come and remove the children. Because they came from Borno State. Almost all of them from Borno State. And you know what happened? The children came out. And they were called, and they were told, you are now, I see the soldiers, because they were soldiers in many buses, coastal buses. You've been asked to move, and then you'll be taken home. Mass crying started immediately. Mass crying. The children wept. Soldiers started weeping too. They had to turn away back to Abuja. They couldn't pick any child. And one, their leader was quoted as saying, with what he has seen today, Nigeria cannot divide. That was what he said, though. But the point I'm making is this. One little step, another little step, more steps, something is triggered. Help is released upon people. So look around you. Somebody somewhere is expecting you to take a step and to be a blessing. Shall we pray? There are benefits to all of this. We often talk of God blessing us, and God blesses us in different ways when we take steps. We get built up spiritually, we become blessings to others more. Others even learn from our examples. We learn to be more empathetic, we learn humility. We become gratefully fulfilled when we become blessings to one another. Not to talk of the eternal reward that comes with it. Others become better because of me. Others have me as an example to follow. Let's all pray individually. Say, Lord, help me to look away from myself. And help me to look out there and reach out to people who I need. Even in this congregation, Jesus Christ was addressing the matter of neighborhood or neighborliness. And then told the story that was commonly called the Good Samaritan. You may not be a priest. You may not be a Levite. You may not even be from Samaria, but be that good whoever you are. Just be good. Let needs be met. Let Calvary be an attraction where burdens are lifted, where death itself is crucified, where the fear of the end of life comes to an end. Let me be the channel, O Lord, through whom lives will be affected. I want you to be praying for yourself, asking God to give you the resources, the leading, the direction, to order your steps, not only to places where you will get favor, but places where you will become the favor that somebody needs. It's one body with many members. You are important. Another person is important. When we are all important to one another and become blessings, God's name is glorified. Nobody should go home hungry. Nobody should go home fasting without a plan to fast. Nobody should be naked because there's no dress to wear. Times are hard, but God has blessed the church as a way to enrich one another. Pray, Father, Lord, that as your word has been spoken, you will help each one of us to identify opportunities to be blessings, and that we'll fulfill your word. He said to us, we should love one another. Help us to indeed love one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to show brotherly love in the secret and in the open. Help us, O God, to be more open to one another so that we can have needs met. To you be glory and praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.